The seals that hold back night shall weaken, and in the heart of winter shall winter's heart be born amid the wailing of lamentations and the gnashing of teeth. For winter's heart shall ride a black horse, and the name of it is death. From the Koreathon Cycle, The Prophecies of the Dragon. Prologue. Snow. Three lanterns cast a flickering light, more than enough to illuminate the small room with its stark white walls and ceiling, but Cianne kept her eyes fixed on the heavy wooden door. Illogical, she knew. Foolish in a sitter for the white. The weave of Saidar she had pushed around the jamb brought her occasional whispers of distant footsteps in the warren of hallways outside, whispers that faded away almost as soon as heard. A simple thing learned from a friend in her long-ago novice days, but she would have warning long before anyone came near. Few people came down as deep as the second basement, anyway. Her weave picked up the far-off chittering of rats. Light! How long since there had been rats in Tar Valon, in the tower itself? Were any of them spies for the Dark One? She wet her lips uneasily. Logic counted for nothing in this. True, if illogical. She wanted to laugh. With an effort, she crept back from the brink of hysteria. Think of something besides rats. Something besides... A muffled squeal rose in the room behind her, faltered into muted whimpering. She tried to stop up her ears. Concentrate. In a way, she and her companions had been led to this room because the heads of the Ajahs seemed to be meeting in secret. She herself had glimpsed Ferana Neheran whispering in a secluded nook of the library with Jesse Bilal, who stood very high among the Browns, if not at the very top. She thought she was on firmer ground concerning Suana Dragand of the Yellows. She thought so. But why had Ferana gone walking with Suana in a secluded part of the tower grounds, both swathed in plain cloaks? Sitters of different Ajahs still talked to one another openly, if coldly. The others had seen similar things. They would not give names from their own Ajahs, of course, but two had mentioned Ferana. A troubling puzzle. The tower was a seething swamp these days, every Ajah at every other Ajah's throat, yet the heads met in corners. No one outside an Ajah knew for certain who within it led, but apparently the leaders knew each other. What could they be up to? What? It was unfortunate that she could not simply ask Ferana, but even had Ferana been tolerant of anyone's questions, she did not dare. Not now. Concentrate as she would, Cianne could not keep her mind on the question. She knew she was staring at the door and worrying at puzzles she could not solve, just to avoid looking over her shoulder, toward the source of those stifled whimpers and snuffling groans. As if thinking of the sounds compelled her, she looked back slowly to her companions, her breath growing more uneven as her head moved by inches. Snow was falling heavily on Tar Valon far overhead, but the room seemed unaccountably hot. She made herself see. Brown-fringed shawl looped on her elbows, Saorin stood with her feet planted apart, fingering the hilt of the curved Altaran dagger thrust behind her belt. Cold anger darkened her olive complexion enough to make the scar along her jaw stand out in a pale line. Pevara appeared calmer at first glance, yet one hand gripped her red-embroidered skirts tightly, and the other held the smooth white cylinder of the oath rod like a foot-long club she was ready to use. She might be ready. Pevara was far tougher than her plump exterior suggested, and determined enough to make Saorin seem a shirker. On the other side of the chair of remorse, tiny Yukiri had her arms wrapped tightly around herself. The long, silvery-gray fringe on her shawl trembled with her shivers. Licking her lips, Yukiri cast a worried glance at the woman standing beside her. Doasine, looking more like a pretty boy than a yellow sister of considerable repute, displayed no reaction to what they were doing. She was the one actually manipulating the weaves that stretched into the chair, and she stared at the Turangrial, focusing so hard on her work that perspiration beaded on her pale forehead. They were all sitters, including the tall woman writhing on the chair. Sweat drenched Taline, matting her golden hair, soaking her linen shift till it clung to her. The rest of her clothes made a jumbled pile in a corner. Her closed eyelids fluttered, and she let out a constant stream of strangled moans and mewling half-uttered pleas. Cianne felt ill, but could not drag her eyes away. Taline was a friend. Had been a friend. Despite its name, the Tarangreal looked nothing like a chair, just a large rectangular block of marbled gray. Nobody knew what it was made of, but the material was hard as steel everywhere except the slanted top. The statuesque green sank a little into that, and somehow it molded itself to her, no matter how she twisted. Doacine's weavings flowed into the only break anywhere on the chair, a palm-sized rectangular hole in one side, with tiny notches spaced unevenly around it. Criminals caught in Tarvalin were brought down here to experience the chair of remorse, to experience carefully selected consequences of their crimes. On release, they invariably fled the island. There was very little crime in Tarvalin. Queasily, Cian wondered whether this was anything like the use the chair had been put to in the Age of Legends. "What is she seeing?" Her question came out a whisper in spite of herself. Taline would be more than seeing. To her, it all would seem real. Thank the light she had no warder, almost unheard of for a green. She had claimed a sitter had no need for one. Different reasons came to mind now.